Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Are you ready for a Patriots Monday, Keith?
Yes, I am, Jones. Born ready.
Love a Patriots Monday.
No Patriots game yesterday.
No, it's still technically a victory Monday. We had a victory Friday.
Yeah,
we haven't lost in a long time.
That felt weird, a victory Friday.
It did feel weird, but it also felt great at the same time.
Real nice,
yeah. Most of my Thursday nights. But, yeah, so I'm excited. The season is going well. Lots to unpack from the games yesterday and as it relates to the New England Patriots. But, yeah, things are going pretty good.
So I would agree there's a lot to get to from an opportunity to really watch the rest of the league yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And I think some good things happened for the Patriots. Some not so good things happened for the Patriots over the weekend. We can get into all of it here today on Jones and Keith. You can dial us up all day long. 617-779-7937. Phone and text number. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keith. Watch along and chat. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. Do the same on YouTube. Watch, chat, subscribe to WEEI. It's kind of cliche to say it's all coming up Patriots, but I felt like the way the weekend went.
Yeah.
And look, the Broncos won. They're technically the one seed. The Bills won. You thought maybe they were just going to keep dropping in the standings and make the division that much easier. So I'm not saying it was perfect for the Patriots, but the Chiefs, you and I have said repeatedly, that's the scariest team in the AFC playoff picture.
Yeah.
They lose. They're 500. They're still out of the playoffs. You have Ja'Marr Chase, who we'll get to here, coming up.
Boy.
Which was just...
You can't do that.
A gift for the Patriots.
Yeah. Everything's coming up, Milhouse.
I kind of is. Kind of no, I mean, say that's how I feel coming out of the weekend. Not to mention...
Yeah.
Just watching the whole league, you're like, the Pats can play with any of these teams.
100% they can. Yeah, I mean, I think... If it was truly everything coming up Milhouse, it would have been Bills lose, Ravens lose. Like, there would have been a few other things. But I think, for the most part, you watch everything and you say, wow, the Patriots are as good, if not better, than everybody else, right? They're at least staring down the barrel of what could be a great rematch with the Bills. But they do have a pretty good lead on them right now. So you're feeling great about their spot in the division and in the conference. We talked about it on Friday. The Broncos-Chiefs game really kind of was a win-win for the Patriots. Either you're knocking down the Broncos and the Pats would be the one seed, or it's another week that goes by where Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the Chiefs aren't in the playoffs. And that was what I was rooting for. I was rooting for the Broncos because the Broncos are they're also more likely down the stretch to lose like a sketchy game that they shouldn't have lost, right? Like, they've had so many weird games, pulling out games against the Jets and the Giants and the Texans. Like, they are a tightrope walk, but they're winning games. Their defense is good, and Bo Nix, for all the flaws he has, he's very clutch, and he can make a couple big throws. He's done it a million times.
So I just want to jump in on that. That, it feels cliche to say. Like, he's just a winner.
There's something there.
If you watch the game yesterday, I do think you got to give him that a little bit where it's like...
I give him a lot.
I forget who said this last night. Maybe it was on the NBC halftime show, or maybe it was on that broadcast of the Chiefs game. I forget which. But somebody was like, the defense is the calling card in Denver, but when plays need to be made, Nix makes them. That clip we played you of the throw to Franklin, it's a massive throw in a big spot. It pretty much seals the game for them. I mean, they're still going to make the kick. But I come out of the game with more respect for Denver. I don't want to disrespect them. That's a good win for them, even at home against KC. There's another shot at them later in the year in Kansas City. I come out of the game with more respect for Denver, but I agree with you 100%. That was a good net result for the Pats.
I'll take it.
You're the two seed, mm-hmm. But we agreed last week. We'd rather be the two seed with the Chiefs out of the playoffs than the one seed and the Chiefs in the playoffs.
Right.
And that's kind of how it played out yesterday.
Plus, they have another game. That's their first game, and that one was in Denver. So you just think, all right, if they're going to split games, it makes more sense if Denver's able to take that first one, and they do. Now, they're also on an eight-game heater. Like, they're rolling right now, and they could say they beat Philly and they beat Kansas City. So those are two kind of feather-in-the-cap wins. A lot of also really bad teams, by the way, right? Like, everyone's going to look at the Patriots' schedule. Well, the Broncos also, you know, they beat Tennessee. They beat both New York teams. They beat Vegas. Like, it's not necessarily the who's who, but yeah, I will take that. You know, through 11 weeks, tied for the best record, you're technically the two seed, but if you had to pick right now who's going to finish with a better record, Broncos or Pats, I'm confidently picking the Pats.
Yeah, I feel that way too, and I think, you know, elsewhere around the league, you saw some of these quarterbacks turn into pumpkins, like Sam Darnold, miserable game,
yeah.
Jared Goff last night, miserable game. I guess at some point I got to start giving credit to the Eagles, but they just don't look right.
They scored 16 points.
They're
like
8-2. Yeah. They win again. It's another good win. They have the most good wins in the league. I think the Patriots, you know, are on the short list in the AFC of good quality wins.
You know, they have the most. They have, like, if this was a college football team, they would be ranked number one with their 8-2.
They have
wins.
The best resume. Yeah, I mean, they do, but then you watch them and you're like, ugh. Like, nothing looks right with them. Their defense is great.
Yeah.
Nothing looks right with them. I think
they couldn't even get that tush push at the end of the game. It almost cost them.
It's true. They got help from the refs late in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, they were awesome on fourth down against the Lions. Maybe Dan Campbell should mix in a punt. But largely,
play
I think,
calling Dan Campbell netted you 9 points.
One good week, one down week.
Well,
I think you watched the league yesterday and you go, the Patriots can hang with all these teams. Like,
yeah,
who can't they hang with?
Well, and then even the other fear, the other boogeyman, if you will, in the AFC was Lamar Jackson. And you're like, all right, Baltimore's really dug themselves quite a hole, but the AFC North is wide open. Baltimore could still get in, and now you go from like cruising through the regular season to maybe having to play Mahomes, Jackson, Allen in the playoffs. But Lamar doesn't look right.
Nope.
The Ravens, I mean, struggled against the Browns, and I guess, you know, it's a rivalry game or whatever, but they looked like a mess for a while. They pulled it out. They did get the win. So they're still in the hunt. They still like are alive.
I thought Shadur had him at the end of the game.
Shadur did not have him.
I thought Shadur had him right where he wanted him.
Despite Josina Anderson's best efforts to talk up Shadur.
Saw that tweet.
I'm blocked
and I somehow saw that
actually,
tweet.
Actually,
yeah.
He should have tied the game.
He didn't.
Oh, he had
Isaiah Bond
wide open. Nick's not wrong. He was wide open in the end zone. He's missed him.
It had to be one of the worst quarterback performances in the history of the league. This great league of ours. Shadur Sanders comes in. Dylan Gabriel gets knocked out with a concussion. Shadur Sanders comes in, goes 4 of 16. 4 of 16 passing.
Sounds high if you watched. I was like, watching. I'm surprised he did that
it's
well.
It's like Derek White from three. He goes 4 of 16, 47 yards and a pick. And you're like, oh my. Also a fumble. He didn't lose it, but also a fumble. So, like, he was a mess. But they needed all that. The Ravens needed a 13-point fourth quarter and a comeback win over the Browns. But the Ravens are 5-5. The Chiefs are also 5-5. They're both on the outside, which...
Yeah, they're 9-10 in the AFC. They're both somehow behind Houston, who's also 5-5 on the outside.
But, like, Lamar was terrible. Lamar was under 200. Now, Cleveland's a good defense, but we saw what Drake May and the Patriots were able to do against Cleveland. Yeah, they gave up a bunch of sacks, but they were able to score some points. Baltimore didn't really do that. Lamar Jackson didn't throw a touchdown. He threw two picks. Because that's also, I bring that up for a couple reasons. One, that's one of those teams that you think you could face in the playoffs. But also, that's the one of the tough games the Patriots have remaining. Or we keep calling it that. We keep it all like Buffalo and Baltimore. I don't know. Maybe we're propping up Baltimore too much.
Maybe. They have won, as you said, what is it? Is it four straight? What are they up to now? They are
Baltimore.
Is either three straight or four straight?
I think it's
but now they're 5-5.
It's four in a row. It's Bears, Dolphins, Vikings, Browns.
So look,
after they lost four in a row,
I still believe in them, and I would not want to play them in a postseason game. And I guess we'll see in a few weeks how they actually match up with Baltimore. But I'm not going to tell you they look good yesterday. Chargers lost. That was another team lurking in the AFC.
No, they didn't just lose.
They got smoked.
They got destroyed.
By
just
people
were like, oh, they're kind of cat in the grass. No, they're not.
No,
they're roadkill.
ETN,
they're trash.
Tootin just ran all over them all day. They just couldn't stop the run.
Lawrence ran
yesterday.
One in. Like,
correct.
Yeah, please.
So, yeah, I think all in all, it was a net positive for the Patriots yesterday. I think the Chiefs on the outside looking in is good for New England.
It's great.
And I'll ask the same thing we asked last week. Who's playing better football than the Pats? I mean, you can say Denver. I guess you can say Philly, given all the wins they have in their resume, but they don't look right.
I would say maybe Rams.
I think the Rams would probably be the one. That's a good win for them against Seattle. They made Darnold look bad.
Yeah.
It's the second year in a row they've made Darnold look bad. They did it last year late. Including in a playoff game and they did it again yesterday. So clearly they have no fear of Sam Darnold, who again turned right back into a pumpkin. I think that's those are the most teams you could have on the list right now, and I'm not sure I even agree with all of them.
Well, the longest winning streaks are the Patriots and Broncos tied at 8, and we've sort of picked through the Broncos where a really good game and a good win over the Chiefs, but some wild, you needed like late magic against these bad, like ugly games. Like that international game they played was horrific. But whatever, they're 9-2, they've won 8 in a row. But I would just say if you're comparing 8-game win streaks, I think the Patriots has been more impressive. The next highest winning streak, active winning streak in the AFC is the Ravens, who you just mentioned. And then in the NFC, the Rams have won 5 in a row, the Eagles have won 4 in a row, and that's it. So, like, I mean, it doesn't mean you have to have a winning streak to be playing well, but, like, just that's sort of the company that they're in right now.
It's a good shorthand way to look at it.
It is.
And those are the teams playing the best football. Pats are right at the top of the list. What do you think of Buffalo yesterday, by the way? They do hang 44. Allen has 6 touchdowns. He also had a bunch of turnovers in the game and started them behind the 8-ball. It looked like we were going to get a real shootout, Allen and Baker Mayfield. It kind of petered out.
Yeah.
Mayfield threw a brutal pick. Buffalo punched it in shortly after that, and they kind of won going away. What do you think of the Bills?
So I'm not going to trash the Bucs at all because I do think that was like one of the really good wins for the Patriots. So it doesn't make any sense to be like, oh, well, the Bucs, this, that, and the other thing. Like, no, these are the two best wins the Patriots have. They were head-to-head, and I think it's one of those things where the Bills are what we thought they were in like the old Denny Green. It's Josh Allen. It's the Josh Allen show. Josh Allen has to do this. If Josh Allen has somewhat of a bad game, if he has a B-minus game, I think he's losing against a good team. Now, a B-minus game, he could still beat the Jets. He could still, although he lost to the Dolphins. But you know my point. Yeah. Like, I think he'd be fine. But no, he literally had to run in 3 and throw 3 more. They only have one other player on offense that I think is an above-average player.
Cook.
Only James Cook. James Cook's nice. He didn't even have a great game, but he did. He was better in the pass game.
He played in the first half.
Yeah.
He really only played in the second half.
He had that touchdown catch, which was really good. The catch was wrong.
That was the touchdown right after the Mayfield pick, yeah.
I mean, that play at the end of the first half that he swung it out to Ty Johnson, it just, like, that goes down as a touchdown pass, but it was, like, wild that, like, he was able to score from there. They gave up, the Bills gave up over 200 yards rushing. So, like,
Sean Tucker was a monster.
He was a monster.
They gave up 32 points. I mean, I don't know how many of those were short field and not, but you're right. The rushing yards were massive.
No, but that is, they're a good example of, like, all right, how far can one truly great player take a team? Because they have one awesome, awesome guy, the reigning MVP, but, you know, he's not without his flaws, threw a couple picks, and I don't even blame him because he's asked to do so much. They have nobody else. Remember when the GM at the beginning of the year got all mad at a beat reporter for calling out the receivers?
Yeah.
The guy's right.
Yeah, I'd be taking a victory lap if I was that radio host. Yeah.
Their leading receiver was something called Tyrell Shavers.
You like him?
No. No.
Oh, you don't like Shavers?
No. And then the next two leading receivers were both running backs.
Landing Strip or Dorito? What are we working with?
I don't know what that is. Cook, Johnson, then it was like Gabe Davis. The corpse of Gabe Davis is still there. They have Dawson Knox. I mean, it's a mess. Keon Coleman got benched because he was like late.
Yeah, he can't show up on time to meetings.
Yeah, so guys are calling him out now. So like they have an awesome, awesome player, but I don't know if that's enough. They've never made the Super Bowl before, and I don't think it's going to be their year this year either.
I'm telling you, I think on balance, and it wasn't a perfect weekend, Bills win. You know, you still look at the Broncos winning again. Yep. Baltimore didn't lose. So it wasn't a perfect weekend. I think it was a net positive weekend for the Patriots.
Definitely.
You watched it just like we did, kicking your feet up week 11. So what'd you think? 617-779-7937. That's how you get in touch on a Patriots Monday. A reminder, Football Talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. You can watch your local game live every Sunday all season long. Just visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Perhaps the best news of the weekend, Keith,
yes,
as it relates to Pats and Bengals on Sunday, is there may not be any Ja'Marr Chase out there. If you haven't seen the footage yet,
what is he doing?
Jalen Ramsey and Ja'Marr Chase were mixing it up, I guess, all game.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And Ramsey will do that to a receiver.
Yes.
They kind of lock horns here at one point. They're trash-talking one another, and Ramsey got ejected for throwing a punch.
Okay.
Number 5 on number 1, as the referee Bill Vinovich described in the pool report.
Yeah.
So he gets tossed from the game. After the game, he reveals that Ja'Marr Chase spit on him.
Ooh.
Which,
it's the lowest of the low.
I've seen the footage. I would say that looks to be the case, although, as you said before the show, Keith, you can do crazy stuff with AI these days.
You can do anything with computers.
But they zoomed in on one real gooey, gross-looking loogie. You call it the lowest of the low?
Yeah, I don't think there's much worse you can do to somebody else, especially like on a field like that where it's just like you're staring across from somebody. I mean, maybe like a kick to the groin is like pretty bad. Like that's like, what are you doing? Just fight him. But
Mount Rushmore of lowest of the low.
Spit in the face.
Yeah, kick in the groin.
Kick in the groin, punch in the groin.
Twist the
hair pull. these are the four words.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Oh, no, maybe the Marchand lick. Licking somebody.
That's way up
you
there
lick
too.
Their face. That's
absolutely on the
back. Grab his f***ing twist it.
It's up there.
I would put that
top four?
Top five.
Yeah, just a bit outside.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Just missing that.
Old twist.
Yeah, I would say all those things are right up there. Like, this is the only time I've ever defended an umpire was when Roberto Alomar spit on him.
Yeah.
I was like, you can't do that.
You can do pretty much whatever you want to these refs/robot refs.
Say whatever you want.
But, yeah, don't spit in their face.
Don't spit on them.
No.
That's disgusting. So, yeah, we had a spitting incident earlier this year. Remember the big spitting incident earlier this year?
Yeah, Jalen Carter. It was the first game of the year.
Yeah.
The Thursday night kickoff, Cowboys and Eagles.
Showcase game.
We just started the year
on
with
each other.
It.
Like,
and
Lord.
So, to your point, there is precedent. This is Rap Sheet talking about it this morning.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think any of this sounds good for Ja'Marr Chase. Again, here's a Rap with the latest.
The NFL is reviewing this, and precedent is there. If a player is determined to have spit on another player, missing a game is something that has happened. Jalen Carter to start the season is the example. So we will see whether or not Ja'Marr Chase gets suspended this coming week.
Schefter says a decision is expected today.
He's not going to play.
He's probably not going to play.
So they don't have Joe Burrow or Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, please. I mean, I know you love Flacco, but I wasn't all that concerned about the game anyway.
Bad Flacco day yesterday.
Yeah.
It started real hot. Yeah. But a bad Flacco day yesterday. He looked, speaking of quarterbacks turning into pumpkins, he might be the latest. I wonder if...
Also, in that same game, Aaron Rodgers got hurt.
Correct.
So, I mean, the Steelers are one of the teams that beat the Patriots, so maybe I shouldn't take them as lightly, but that's just another thing when we're talking about things going the Patriots' way. The Steelers got the win. They're 6-4, but, I mean, who knows how long Rodgers is going to be out.
Multiple people have now texted being thrown into a pond.
Oh, yeah.
Which we did talk about. That's emasculating.
Well, that's emasculating, but that's... Like, that's not disgusting.
It's not the lowest of
all. Having somebody spit
on
you.
Depends on the pond. Ponds are pretty gross.
Yeah, ponds can be gross.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like that's... You should be able... You should... I say this. Watch, maybe today I'll get thrown into a pond. But you should be able to stop yourself from getting thrown into a pond. There's not much I can do. If somebody walks up to you and you're not ready for it, they just spit on you.
Can't do much.
No, you can't really even defend yourself.
Yeah.
Can't block it. You can't block a spit that's like all over your arm. Still doing the job.
Even if you block it, yeah, it's still pretty gross.
Going to go Matrix style, like Limbo. But yeah, that's gross. And yeah, he's probably going to miss a game. And they're already without Burrow. I mean, let's see what that spread ends up being.
Do you think the way Flacco played and Chase suspended, do you think in any way that changes the Burrow timeline? If Chase is out, I guess Burrow probably is like, well, hell with that. I'm not playing.
I always thought Burrow was out anyway because when he came back, they were like, all right, he's got 21 days to decide whether they want to reactivate him. And you're like, that would have been right around 14 days. Like, I think he's probably going to practice for 3 weeks. Then they'll make a decision. I don't even think there's a guarantee back then.
Text line also says Dak didn't get suspended. He didn't spit on anyone. He spit in the direction of someone, right?
Yes.
And actually, was that the Jalen Carter game?
That was the same thing.
Right. I think
in the huddle, spit on the ground. Jalen Carter walked over, just a hawk
spit,
loogie on
spit
him.
Spit in his face. Right, yeah. So
he's like, oh, yeah, you think that's a spit?
So I would think Ja'Marr Chase ain't playing this week.
I would agree.
It's currently a 7-point spread.
All right. So without Chase, now I'm always surprised when like a star player goes out. It really doesn't move that much,
but I
bet it goes to like.
I think quarterbacks move it. Yeah. I think star players, like one individual player, tends to not move it much.
I mean, he's maybe the best receiver in the league, and he's the kind of guy that, like, you know, if you're looking at these head-to-head matchups, the Patriots have been so good against opposing running backs. They haven't been great against opposing top receivers. Drake London had a monster game, so Ja'Marr Chase gives them much more of that puncher's chance to pull off the upset. So if they don't even have him.
I mean, look,
T. Higgins, and that's it.
If you want the best example of it's all coming up Milhouse,
it's coming up Milhouse.
Nick said earlier, that's the best example. So Pats don't play; they probably won't get Ja'Marr Chase on Sunday. At least that seems to be the way the wind's blowing on that one. Never mind, the Chiefs lose again. Chargers get knocked off. It wasn't a perfect weekend. Bills win. On top of that, you have the Broncos continuing their win streak. They're technically the one seed right now. So what did you think of the weekend? You watched it like we did. We'll get to all your takeaways at 617-779-7937. We will get to the Bruins later on today. Rivalry's back, as Keith predicted. We'll get to the Celtics as well. Celtics are heating up, as Keith predicted.
I'm on it.
Bill Belichick also put out an odd statement this weekend.
As Keith predicted.
So we got to get to that. But meanwhile, and maybe we can blame Keith for this, Milton Williams now hurt.
No, not my fault.
Well,
not my fault. I asked him a broken bone. He didn't break a bone.
It's not your fault.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Let's get into Milton Williams. Now on IR, how big of a blow is that for the Patriots defense? And is their defense championship caliber? We'll get to that right after Trending with Billy Lanny.
ESPN's Adam Schefter joins WEEI Afternoons every Wednesday at 3:45. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. It's back-to-back wins for the Boston Celtics after yesterday's 121-118 win over the Los Angeles Clippers at the TD Garden. Jaylen Brown led all Celtics scorers with 33 points and 18 rebounds. Peyton Pritchard would also score 30 points in the victory. The Seas are back on the court tomorrow night in Brooklyn to take on the Nets. The Boston Bruins look to make it back-to-back wins tonight when the Bees host the Carolina Hurricanes. Face-off at the TD Garden is at 7 o'clock. The New England Patriots return to the facilities today after following a three-day break after Thursday night's win over the New York Jets. This Sunday, the Pats will be in Cincinnati taking on the Bengals. The Bengals fell to 3-7 after yesterday's 31-12 loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Bengals wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase's status is unknown for Sunday's game after spitting in the face of Steelers cornerback Jalen Ramsey. And Week 11 in the NFL, we'll wrap up with the Monday Night Football matchup between the Dallas Cowboys and the Las Vegas Raiders. You can catch the call of the game right here on 93.7. Westwood One's coverage will begin at 7 o'clock with kickoff from Vegas at 8:15. As Massachusetts insurance plans renew next year, most are pulling back GLP-1 coverage for weight loss. Awaken 180 is here to help with $500 off your Awaken 180 program. Lose it once and keep it off with the solution for weight loss, awaken180weightloss.com. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
So I'll tell you, listening back to Mike Vrabel, and that was him after the game on Thursday, I assume Williams might miss a game or two. I think the way we said it last time we were here, Keith, on Friday, is I don't think it's going to be a long-term injury for Milton Williams. Maybe he misses some games, but he'll be back for the playoffs. I think that takeaway was largely right, but to put him on IR does throw a bit of doubt into it.
Yeah.
They have the bye week coming up. He's going to miss four games. So you're not going to get him back until the last couple of regular season games if he comes back right when he's allowed to come off of IR. So I didn't really expect it to progress like that. I thought maybe he'd miss a game and come back. Maybe he'd miss two and then come back after the bye week. He's going to be out longer than I thought. And that, it should go without saying, is a massive, massive blow to the defense because he's been an incredibly impactful and, you know, massive signing for the Patriots.
Great signing. Incredible signing. You know, and people, I think, wondered at first just because he didn't play a ton in Philadelphia, meaning like percentage of snaps, right? Like Philadelphia's defense was so good.
Snaps or whatever. Yeah,
it might have been. I don't even know if it hit 50%.
It might not have been.
So you're like, all right, that is a lot of money for a guy. Not that I cared about the money, but it was like that was a big investment that they made. And you looked across the free agency, they didn't get the left tackle. They didn't get the wide receiver until later in Diggs. But even that wasn't the big, massive payday. They spent the most money on Milton Williams, and he has lived up to it. He's been incredible. And the combination of him and Barmore, like their pass rush, everyone's like, oh, the pass rush. Well, they generate so much pass rush from those two guys in the middle that it's making Chasen and Landry, making their jobs a lot easier. Plus, you look at what running backs have done against the Patriots. Not much.
No.
And he's a big reason for that. So, yeah, for whatever it is, 11 games, he's been really good. And if you're telling me it's just four games or three games or whatever it is that he misses, okay. I think they'll be okay. But if this team is going to go like beyond even expectations and like win playoff games, I think you need him. I think you need that guy.
Well, of course. And I'm skeptical it's a high ankle sprain. Isn't that what they called it initially? It's been reported ankle, on anyway as a high ankle is what I initially saw.
Yep.
I don't think you typically go on IR for a high ankle sprain.
Well, I don't know. You usually typically don't miss 8 weeks for a hamstring.
Well, good point. But so I right from the beginning, Vrabel's like, oh, yeah, he probably could have gone back in. We were just protecting him from himself was the gist of his answer.
Mm-hmm.
And the initial reporting is high ankle sprain. Like, my fear would be, and I'm not telling you it is, but my fear would be it's worse than they're letting on. And I don't think you typically go on IR with a high ankle. Did CeeDee Lamb go on IR when he had his high ankle sprain earlier this year? I don't think so.
No.
So, like, I don't typically think that's what you do.
Yeah. Well, so okay.
Brian Thomas Jr. has a high ankle sprain right now. He's not on IR.
Is he playing, though?
No, he didn't play, but they didn't put him right on IR.
No, that's true.
With a bye week coming up.
Recovery from a high ankle sprain, according to Google AI Overview, depends on the severity, ranging from a few weeks for a mild sprain to several months for a severe one.
Yeah, I think it's typically like three games. I think if you have a high ankle sprain, it's less than the IR frame. I'm not telling you that's every single one, but I think traditionally that's what it is.
Well, and we saw this team not put Gonzalez on IR at the beginning of the year, and he missed three games. So it wasn't the fourth, so I guess they actually made the right call there, right? Like, we were talking about it every day leading right up until he made his debut in the fourth game of the season. So you're like, all right, I guess that's why they didn't do it. But this one, they kind of made that decision pretty quickly, and obviously it frees up like a roster spot for you. But yeah, obviously not ideal, because that is one thing, like, from the outside, they've been, I don't want to say injury free, like Ramondre's missed games, Kayshon Booty's now missed a couple of games, but compared to some other teams around the league, they've done okay. And now this is like the first real, like, again, Gonzalez missed the beginning, but now he's been back ever since. So this is the biggest one to date.
So, and I see the Twitch chat saying it's better to have him fresh and be ready to go. Yeah, but I'm not saying play him this weekend. IR is telling you they think he's going to miss the next 5 weeks, four games plus the bye week. And that's what they're telling you they think the time frame is. That's worse than a high ankle sprain is all I'm saying.
So I should know this.
A traditional high ankle sprain.
I should know this. Is IR four games or four weeks?
Well, I guess I need to double check that. That's what I think. I'm like 99% sure it's games,
it'll
not weeks.
5 weeks, he has to miss four games.
Yeah. So,
no, but I thought IR was 4 weeks. I know it's getting confusing.
Everything I saw yesterday was four games.
I believe it's games.
Okay.
I need to like triple check that.
No, that's fine.
I'm pretty sure that's
probably
what it is.
Right. So because they have two games, then a bye, then it would be two more games.
Yeah.
So like that means he would miss the two, what we're calling tough games, you know, Buffalo and Baltimore, and then theoretically could be back for Jets, Dolphins, and playoffs.
Dark and stormy nights. As long as we still get our weekly interview, we're Gucci Jones with the Milkman. I don't think we do.
We were supposed to get
him on Friday. I highly doubt that's happening.
Hunter Henry's coming on today, so don't go anywhere.
Yep, that'll be coming up. We're told in the
11
o'clock hour.
Do we have a second guy or no?
No, Christian Ellis is hurt.
Okay.
So we don't get a replacement,
well,
I guess.
Well, next man up has always been a big philosophy down there.
Yeah.
Not the case here with the midday interviews.
Nope, right. I guess not.
That's fine.
So Hunter Henry in the 11 o'clock hour, TBD on Friday. Don't believe there's a second guest today.
It's all right.
But it is Patriots Monday here on WEEI.
Hell yeah.
Pretty good stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you think the defense is championship caliber with a healthy Milton Williams? Like, take his injury out of it. Assuming they're healthy, Gonzo's out there, Milton Williams is out there. Is that a championship caliber defense?
I think it is. Yeah, I think their defense is, they going into it, we felt like they had the corners. Like, they had corners to sort of slow down top receivers in Gonzalez and Davis, and then Marcus Jones has played really well. I still have my questions about, you know, safety, especially after all the roster moves that they made at the beginning of the year. But with Milton Williams, I mean, that defensive front is as good as there is in the league. Those two guys have been putting up incredible seasons. So, yeah, I think it is. You could argue that, well, they haven't been tested a ton this year, but the tests that they had, they held up strongly. So, like, yeah, I think they are a championship defense.
So here's the reason I asked. Mike Reese had a few nitpicks for the Patriots in his Sunday notes, and he said three different potential pitfalls the Patriots face the rest of the way. Two are on defense. One we've talked about constantly, the slow starts.
The first drive is something.
The other Reese mentioned, and Vrabel also brought it up today with Greg. limited ball disruption is how he put it.
Limited ball disruption?
That's not your ex-wife.
No. No, no, quite the contrary.
He said one forced turnover over the past three games, and it was a bad jet snap that Fields just kind of kicked to the Patriots. So Vrabel mentioned that, too. He's like, we got to start creating turnovers. Mm-hmm. They already, I think, were limited there. And, you know, they have not been forcing the turnovers you would expect, especially in a run of bad quarterbacks, save for Baker Mayfield, in this stretch. So I already have more questions about the defense, I guess, than the offense. And now you invite Milton Williams and an injury on top of it. He's going to miss at least four games.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if that's going to look any better in that stretch without him. Like, and that was already where I had my question.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I don't know if the next couple of games we're really going to see it, though. I don't know if Joe Flacco, Chase Brown are going to be able to really exploit the Patriots. And then the following week with, I don't know, maybe Jameis Winston and Devin Singletary. Like, you're talking about backups for both, backup running backs and, or I guess Chase Brown's a starter, but you know what I'm saying? Like, backup quarterbacks, if there's no Jamar Chase, that's just another guy that gets open really quickly. So they may not be tested the next couple of weeks. But I just think when you're talking,
coming out of the bye week, they're going to be tested.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And that's, you're going to miss him. I think it's going to show up that you're going to miss him. Like, he's that good of a player. But through 11 weeks, I think they're fifth in defense if you're talking points. They're top 10 in yards, too, if you want to talk about, like, sustained drives and things like that. So it's a growing sample size, and they've proven that they are one of the best defenses. I don't know if they're the Broncos' defense, but they might be just as good as anybody else's.
Twitch chat is accusing us of getting Milton Williams hurt. Really, you, for asking about his broken bone.
No. Blame Bob Ryan, because he was responding to everybody, and we were talking about it, and he had a 20-question.
You're saying even if it is a broken bone, blame Bob Ryan, not you.
For responding to the Never Have I Evers memes on Twitter. Uh-huh. I thought that was a good interview, though, with Milton Williams, if I don't mind saying. Because
I thought it was great.
We learned a lot about Milton Williams.
The people really liked the Milkman interview every week. We really enjoyed it. Yep. So, of course, he's been befallen with injury just when we were really starting to get into that interview. And I guess there are bigger problems with that, bigger issues with that. But you say...
not on us.
At Bob Ryan.
Yeah.
Not us.
Yeah, ask him something. He'll answer it. Or no, don't even ask him, though. Just ask anything on Twitter, and he might find
it
somehow.
Turn it into an AI meme with like a hot,
like a
elderly
decent
woman.
Cougar. Like a decent cougar.
And he'll respond.
Oh, sure.
You can really ask anything with that meme, and he will.
Anything goes.
He will get back to you.
Yeah.
By the way, the other issue beyond the limited ball disruption.
Yep, right.
And the slow starts on D. Mm. Red zone offense for the Patriots. I think this is a sneaky one.
Yep.
23 touchdowns and 39 trips this year. So they are at about 60%, 59% success rate down there. That one surprises me. And Reese makes the point it's maybe due to a lack of power running game down there where they've struggled. So it was better with Travion Henderson, at least some of the power running this past week, or going back to Thursday.
The line stuffed him into the end zone on one of them.
But that's
maybe Ramondre, despite his ball handling issues, maybe he's a little bit better at that. You know, he might be more traditionally your like 5 yard and in running back than Travion Henderson is. That also might be a spot where you look for Drake May even a little bit more. I know you're not trying to get him killed, but that might be a spot for him.
Well, yeah, if you're struggling in the red zone and you need it in a big game, you know, not this week against the Bengals or Monday night against the Giants the following week. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the Bills and Ravens games, a playoff game, that might be something that adds to it for sure. 617-779-7937, all your thoughts from week 11 as we got a chance to go back and watch all those games. Where do you think the Patriots fit into the big picture? I don't think there's a team in the league they can't play with right up through Sunday Night Football, watching the Eagles and the Lions.
Clear.
Never mind, good news all around for the Pats. Jamar Chase probably, it seems like, is trending towards being out after spitting on Jalen Ramsey yesterday. Never mind, the Chiefs are still outside of the playoffs looking in. Probably good news there. We'll go all the way around the NFL, give you all the games coming up. And what happened for week 11 at 11:30? Hunter Henry on the way as well. We got to get to Bill Belichick and his out-of-nowhere wild statement over the weekend.
God, what is he doing?
We'll get to that coming up. But we also got to get to the Bruins. The rivalry is back with the Canadiens.
Did you feel it?
I
felt it.
Didn't take long at all.
No. They hate each other.
Drop the puck.
Yep.
They were at each other's throats.
Drop the puck, drop the gloves. I am plowed and pleased with this team right now.
Let's get to the Bruins.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
What's next?
Fun one on Saturday night. Bruins.
Sure was.
3-2 winners up at the Bell Center. Place was electric. And due in part to having a couple of early fights in the game, you had Zadorov, a show favorite.
Yeah. Always knew this guy would help.
Throwing down with Jaden Struble, who, yep, I guess we were informed by our guy Ray in Cumberland, from Cumberland, Rhode Island, went to St. Sebs, even played like his hockey, Keith, at the Northeastern University.
Holy smokes.
So they were throwing down.
That's Tanner. St. Sebs is a wagon.
Tanner Janot, right after that, had a fight a few minutes later. Kaslik tried to start up another fight and was declined by Anderson, I think it was, for the Canadiens. So it was physical. Bruins get a win.
I can be hard down low.
Bell sets a hard down low Janot.
Yeah, hard to argue with that.
Is who that was. They get a very important victory. And don't look now. They sit in first place on
first
top of the
place.
Atlantic Division after
first
that game
place.
On Saturday night.
They've still played more games than everybody in the division. But regardless, even if those teams, you know, they're going to play each other, so they're not all going to like win every one of their makeup games there to catch the Bruins. So the fact that they're where they're at right now after the first, whatever it was, seven games of the season where you're like, oh my God. In my hand in the air, I was like, all right, it might be time to look for Gavin McKenna. It might be time to talk Tank, because they just, it wasn't for a lack of effort. They just weren't getting the results. Like, they just were struggling big time. The goaltenders weren't good. The defense was letting them down. It was pretty much just Pastrnak scoring. Well, things have changed, and it seems like some of the buttons that Marco Sturm has pushed have worked. They've gone back to Lowry. Lowry has been out this whole time, but like sending a message to him, sitting him out for a little bit, then putting him back in there, skipping Swayman, what we felt like was a scheduled start for him. He's like, nope, we're going to go with Corposalo. He was good last game. We're going to keep him going. But those guys, have, to their credit, also have responded to that. They didn't just go into a shell and like disappear. We thought there was a chance with Swayman that could happen. You're like, oh boy, you got to be really careful with this guy because he could just turn into a puddle. But both Lowry and Swayman have responded. You're getting a top, you know, you're getting a great season out of Pastrnak, as I don't think anybody is too surprised by. And yeah, this Eastern Conference, I mean, you see them sitting up there, or at least in the division anyway, top of the division.
Look at the goal differential in the division, by the way. It's the only team that's positive.
They're all minus. They're all basically the same. The Sabres are the worst. Everybody else is basically the same. And so still a lot to be determined. You know, you don't have a, you know, you're up a point on the Red Wings, 2 points on the Canadiens and the Senators. Teams like Toronto, Florida, and Tampa just kind of like lingering there below you.
I
so
mean, look,
like it's interesting.
Bruins are playing well. We'll get to some injuries and potential injuries coming up here in a moment. But the way the game started, you said, Keith, rivalry's back. People are saying it. Rivalry's going to be back.
It was for first place in the division.
Bruins and Habs has felt pretty dead.
Yes.
And it started right away with Zadorov right off the top. Here he is after the game, by the way, talking about getting his guys going.
I mean, why not? Saturday night in Bell Center, big rivalry. Used to be big rivalry, so maybe it's new again. But just trying to get the boys going and everything.
Okay, you want to get the boys going.
Oh, the boys were going after that, I would say.
It's one of the things that you want for sure.
Good line by him. And maybe he's kind of growing on us, or at least for me. I won't speak for you, because he's definitely that guy that if he was on another team, you wouldn't be able to stand. Now, unfortunately, it felt that way last year when he was on the team that we're rooting for.
Yep.
He was frustrating, but a good little sneaky line in there, like, this is a rivalry game. Well, it was a rivalry. It's like, well, maybe
used
it is again.
It used to be.
Many people were saying.
I mean, when the teams are struggling, it's hard to be, right? But if you're competing for the division, then yeah.
Yeah, and here's what you want if you're a Bruins fan. Like, against the Canadiens. Canadiens are on the power play the whole night. Bees killed off seven of them. Mm-hmm. Montreal was 0 for 7.
on the power play.
Seven!
You want, thank you. You want guys like Anderson declining fights with the Bruins, and now you're in their heads and rattling their cage, and
stuff.
It started right off the top with Zadorov. So that was fun. That was great. Now, they're going to lose McAvoy for God knows how long. That was scary on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. Puck right off the jaw, face, chiclets, whatever it was. Update from the Bruins this morning, and this just came out in the last 15, 20 minutes.
What do we got?
They have placed two players on IR, Victor Arvidsson and Casey Mittelstadt.
Okay.
They have also put Jordan Harris on LTIR, long-term injured reserve, and they've called Matej Blumel.
All right, get him up. Come on, Matej.
And Riley Tufte. Now, I guess the good news in there is no announced transaction yet with McAvoy, right?
Well, that's because these guys are maniacs. They can play with broken jaws.
Sure.
Remember Char in the playoffs? He just throw that the shield on his face.
So the good news would be McAvoy not placed on IR yet.
Yeah.
I wouldn't expect him in the lineup here tonight. But that seems to be minorly good news on the long-term outlook for McAvoy, but other transactions there, no Arvidsson, and, again, no Mittelstadt.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, maybe McAvoy's not out that long. I mean, if they're making all these other transactions and he's not a part of it, I would look at that as a good thing. Tonight, they're back at it against Carolina. But, yeah, no, they're playing really well. I mean, there was that stretch when they lost all those games in a row, and then early on in the winning streak, and I know the streak was snapped on Thursday against Ottawa, but during that, we're wondering, all right, which is the real Bruins? Like, what are they more like? And I don't know. There seems to be a bigger, longer example of this, like them finding ways to win games and even getting scoring from, like, unlikely contributors is one way I guess I would put it. Because I thought it was going to be one line and really two players that could score goals for him this year, and it's been better than that.
No, it has been, and I think we were all freaking out during the six-game losing streak, rightfully so, ready to gag for Gavin and everything else.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But that six-game losing streak really is the outlier in their season.
Mm-hmm.
They're in first place. You're right. They still have games out of hand, but those when you win every single game, when you win every single game, those numbers have a way of leveling out.
Yeah.
Never mind the goal-scoring differential that you pointed out earlier. So rivalry feels back. Bruins have been red hot. Fun game on Saturday night, although there are some injuries we got to account for and pay attention to. It's a shame with McAvoy, too, because like McAvoy seemed to be rounding into form. We talked about the massive shift that he had at the end of one of these games. I'm trying to remember now. They're all running together. But the one in overtime where he had a couple of cracks at it, and the Bruins wound up getting the victory. Never mind Zadorov, who...
That was Ottawa, I think.
Was it? The first time they played Ottawa?
Yeah,
maybe
yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he was starting to be worth his contract, which I felt like it had been years since we said that. Zadorov, same thing. Like, I don't know that he's ever going to be worth the contract they handed out, but at least he's a representative player, and you can see what he brings, and there's a little bit of edge there to start that game on Saturday night. So that's been nice with the Bruins, which I did not see coming with this team.
No McAvoy on the ice this morning. Which,
right.
No surprise.
No, I wouldn't expect him out there tonight.
Yeah.
But if he's avoiding IR, I'd say that's a good update or relatively
good. Well, then
good
they have a road
anyway.
Trip, too, so you get a good sense, too. So they play tonight against Carolina, then Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, Wednesday, a little road trip. So they go to California for three. And so is he on the team? Well, is he with the team? Is he not with the team? We'll be able to tell by Wednesday.
All right, so we'll monitor that. Rivalry back on, though. You can discuss 617-779-7937. We will get to the Celtics next hour. We'll also get to what happened. A spin around the NFL, Week 11. Really take a closer look at some of these games. A lot of you watched yesterday. We have thoughts on it coming up every Monday at 11:30. And on the way next, Bill Belichick. A statement seemingly out of nowhere that he is not interested in the New York Giants vacancy. We have thoughts. We'll get to them coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.